This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Teach your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
What is up, Saints fans? Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, another edition of Inside Black and Gold. It is a mandatory podcast. No voluntary workouts going on for us, Jeff. We did get to see the first week of OTAs, the second week cranking up for the Saints. Looking forward to being back out there because still a few questions, but the QB competition definitely front and center for the black and gold. Was interesting to see the offensive line layout. We're going to talk about that and a whole bunch more. And also, I know this first segment, getting shunned by a future Pro Bowl quarterback. Boo-hoo.
Hall of Fame quarterback, is that what you're saying?
Future Hall of Famer, yeah.
Future Pro Bowl. I don't think he's going to make another Pro Bowl. We'll see. But yeah, we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. You know, funnily enough, I think Bobby Hebert is like the only person who actually seems to still be beating that drum of like, he wants Aaron here. And I'm like, you don't want that. But
he thinks it's a pure, he wants to be entertained and he feels like Rodgers is going to pack the Superdome this year.
There will be entertainment value, I suppose. Like people can be entertained by a car wreck. That's not what you want to happen, but it's like, people watch it, right? You can't look away. But no, anyway, we'll get into that in a second. We're a couple days behind here. The Thursday availability is tough because I don't want to post a podcast on like a Saturday, but and the practices end late in the day. So we can't really do anything on Thursday. Then we have a host a show on Friday. So it's like, so we're a little behind. We'll have to figure out, we'll have to streamline a schedule here over the next couple weeks and figure out something. But we're going to go into what happened on Thursday. It is now Tuesday. Nothing really has changed, so that's the benefit. It's like what we're talking about is still all accurate. Nothing has happened. The Saints actually had Monday off as a team. They gave them Memorial Day off. So we just took the same day off as the team did, right? But no, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the news, basically, like what the more newsy things that happened during the first OTA session, the offensive line shuffle, you know, some practice changes, what Kellen Moore had to say, stuff like that. Second segment, I want to talk about all four quarterbacks. Got a chance to talk to Hunter. We talked to all four of them. So we'll have clips from all four of them. I have a clip from Hunter Deckers. I'm curious, you know, I want to play that and let y'all hear from him. He's a really interesting guy. We'll talk about Jake Haener's injury, that whole situation. Weird, but whatever. And then Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler. Final segment, I want to kind of talk about, okay, what are the biggest questions remaining, you know, that maybe we'll get some kind of answer to? We probably won't get answers to really much of anything over the next 3 weeks, other than everyone showing up or not showing up. But that's where we're going to be. So the final segment will be that. Talk about Kendre Miller, what Kellen Moore had to say about Kendre Miller, that kind of thing. But yeah, first things first. If you were still wondering about Aaron Rodgers coming to the Saints, he was asked whether he would play for the Saints. And he had a pretty straightforward response. So let's listen to it.
No. Would you ever consider playing for the Saints and making us great again? Because you
know. No. That's the answer.
That's the answer.
Hey, next question.
It's no. No, I've played there a couple times, but no. The answer is no. I'm too old. I don't want to live in Louisiana. Sorry.
It's okay, Aaron. I don't think anyone in Louisiana actually wanted you. So,
and making us great again. I was like, what?
Yeah, this is some anytime you deal with Aaron Rodgers, there's going to be some weird political vaccine, anything. Like, it's always going to be related to that. Like, it's that, and it's part of the reason. Like, I was talking to someone yesterday about Aaron, and it was, they were like, wow, when did Aaron get so weird? And I was like, I don't think that's what's happened. I think he was always this way. And up in Green Bay, it was like, you don't really, when you play for the Packers, you are a football player, and then that's about it. Like, how often do you hear about Packers players and what they're doing in their personal lives? Like, you don't. It wasn't until you went to New York and everyone became obsessed with him at every turn that it was like, oh, wow, he's got some really bad ideas. Like, he's a problematic individual. Oh, yeah. Anyway, like, he's always been like ostracized from his family, and everyone was like, I wonder why that is. His family must just be kind of crazy. And I think it might be the opposite.
I didn't click on it, but I saw Danica Patrick recently spoke out about him too, about in their relationship.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff, and we don't need to get into it either way. It's like this whole situation kind of feels like someone who you didn't ask to prom is telling their friends they weren't going to go with you if you asked. Because, like, I don't think the Saints have really went down that path. This is like Mike McCarthy all over again. Like, the Saints seem like a common sense scenario for a potential situation because of the things that have happened.
Yeah.
And everyone has kind of taken themselves down that path, but the Saints never actually went down that path. And then it's like, well, you can't fire me, I quit. Well, he's like, you were never employed here. So anyway, it's a whole thing. But yeah, Aaron, I mean, it sounds like he's going to play in Pittsburgh. That seems to be what he's teasing.
Right.
And good for him. He's going to love it, I guess. Mike Tomlin's going to hate it, but hey, go do what you got to do. He's still a good quarterback. They'll probably win a lot of games.
Yeah, too old for New Orleans, but just the right age for Pittsburgh. Enjoy it up there.
Yeah, I mean, I think when he says that, it's a heat thing. And in fairness to Aaron, he sucks when it's hot. We saw that firsthand in Jacksonville.
But we play in a dome.
Yeah, but he's still got to live in the heat, you know? I mean, if you look at his career splits, he is terrible when he has to go in the warm to play in warm weather. So I think that's probably part of it, is he knows that about himself. But all right, let's move on. Let's go to OTAs. You know, OTAs are OTAs, right? They are organized team activities. They sound more interesting than they are. They're not. They are very boring. You are not getting any team drills. You know, part of that is definitely CBA stipulated, like, you can only practice for so long, you can't have contact, there's no pads, so it is what it is. You did have some interesting absences, right? So guys I did not see out there, let's just run through them. We knew Alvin Kamara wasn't going to be there, so, you know, the funny thing is Derek Carr and Ryan Ramczyk are still on the roster. They weren't there, in case you're wondering. No 4 or 71. Also no Taysom Hill dealing with that knee injury, no Tyrann Mathieu, no JT Gray, no DeMarco Jackson, which is a surprise to me. Like, he's a guy that should be competing for the roster. Like, you'd think he'd be there. No DeMario Davis. No Devon Godshaw, which is a little interesting to me. Like, you know, you'd think first time with your hometown team, really. Like, home state team, I should say. Then no Nathan Shepard. And no Chase Young. So we'll have to see if that list changes. I would expect some of these guys, you know, if you can't make it to the first OTA session, I think as long as you communicate, I don't think the coaches are going to be, you know, butthurt about that. But, you know, I would expect a guy like DeMarco Jackson to be like, he's not skipping OTAs, right? Even like a Nathan Shepard, Devon Godshaw, like, I don't think they're going to skip all three OTA sessions. So we'll have to see, but those are the guys that weren't there. There were also a couple players that were there, but were not working out and are not going to be participating in the actual offseason on-field work. That's rookie cornerback Quincy Riley. We knew about that injury. Tight end Foster Moreau, who's still coming back from the knee injury. He was there, but not working out. You also had tight end Dallin Hawker, which is a bit of a surprise. Didn't know he was dealing with an injury, but clearly he is still working back from something. And then also Jake Haener, quarterback. We'll talk about him more in the second segment. Has an oblique injury that he suffered after the second day's practice, that's going to keep him out until training camp.
Yeah, and definitely a big bummer for Haener. We'll see if he's able to get back on the field for training camp, just because I'm not saying the QB competition, they're grading everything already, but, you know, you want to be there, you want to be out there showing all the coaches, what you're able to do, especially I feel like with, and I know we'll get into what Hunter Decker's, a guy that I thought at rookie minicamp when we got a glimpse of him could definitely push Haener for that third QB, that slot.
Yeah, it's really going to be what the Saints are looking for with that third quarterback, which I assume they're going to have a third quarterback on the roster, because I think you're just going to want to take advantage of that, the opportunity to have an emergency third quarterback, and they have to be on the roster to do that. So we'll see, you know, and it's going to be a question. We don't know right now. Like, I don't think you're losing a ton in not being out there for 7-on-7 reps. You know, if you were a rookie, it would probably be a little more significant than a third-year guy. Even a second-year guy, it would be like, I want to come in and kind of get a full offseason. He's a third-year guy. He's learned two offenses already. So, you know, it shouldn't set him back that far. I just think he wasn't really on an even line with those guys to begin with, so it's just not helping him. There's two other notes from practice that I think are worth mentioning. One, there are names on the back of the jerseys now, which I appreciate. The practice jerseys, they've never, at least not since I've been here, and I don't know if that's ever been the case, they haven't had names on the back of their practice jerseys. Well, there are now. So, you know, I always make it a point to memorize the numbers pretty early in camp. So, like, it's never been a huge issue for me, but I imagine as a fan going out there and, like, with a 90-man roster, like, you'd be like, who the heck is number 76? Or, you know, like, there's so many numbers of folks that it's like, I don't even know. Who's 30? Who's 42? Like, you know, there's so many of them. They have the names on the back of the jerseys now. So that should help y'all out.
I appreciate it for sure. You know, like you said, learning the names from the numbers in the beginning, it's a little difficult. Now you just look up when you're taking attendance. You're like, oh, you know, that's so-and-so. It's right there in front of you.
Yeah, and I'm curious what helmets too.
Yeah, what spawned that, though? What was the motivation to have bat names on the back of the jerseys now?
You know, I meant to ask, and I just spaced on it when Kellen was talking. I'm going to ask him at some point, because it has to be something. Someone made a decision to do that. And I don't know if it was, maybe that's just what the Eagles did, or, you know, so you've had, I mean, it's really just you're ironing them on the back, you know?
Right.
So someone had to do some extra work, but either way, you know, like, you know, Sean used to not even let him have a fleur-de-lis on the helmet. That went away last year. So, hey, you know, at least we're moving
forward. You got to earn the fleur-de-lis, right?
Yeah. It was also a very up-tempo practice. I'm interested in seeing how Ted Rath, the new pro performance director, his impact. You know, Kellen did talk about him briefly after that practice. Like, I think a lot of the decision-making that goes into how they're going to operate practice inside versus outside, intensity, efficiency, that sort of thing, is going to run through him. So I'm curious, over the course of this whole offseason, how his impact changes just what we've seen in terms of, you know, one thing that was interesting about this practice is when they were doing 9-on-7s, they actually had the first team and the second team going at the same time on opposite ends of the field. I think that might be just driven by, okay, we only have so much time allotted during the OTAs. We even want to maximize it. But it'll be interesting to see if that is something that carries over. Like, are they going to do more simultaneous work so that there's more reps to be had, rather than, okay, we're just having one set of reps and everyone else watching and then swapping out. So that'll just be something to keep in mind.
You know, the other part for me was seeing Trevor Penning finally playing the guard position, which everybody's been seemingly clamoring for.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I've seen a lot of people say, like, and we'll talk about the entire offensive line shuffle because there's more to it than that. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people say, like, wow, like, finally the coaching staff figured out that Trevor Penning could play guard. And I don't think it's that. Like, I think, you know,
right,
when,
we
like,
still
when we
don't know.
Well, when we talk to coaches and we talk to Jeff Ireland, the question was always asked, like, do you think Penning can play guard? And the answer was always yes. Like, it wasn't a situation where they were like, we don't think he could even do it if we tried.
Right.
I think with Trevor, the goal all along was, how can we give him a chance to succeed?
Correct. And I agree.
To me, it was like, it's not that you couldn't have him play left tackle, you couldn't have him play right tackle, you couldn't have him play guard. It was whatever position you put him at, I want him to work exclusively at that position. So, like, if you were trying to bring Trevor Penning into the season as your right tackle, you weren't having him take time in practice going over to guard just in case. It was either he's your right tackle or he's your nothing, you know? And that's how I think they're operating this year, because you've set Kelvin Banks at left tackle, at least for now. This might change. You might see some shuffling. I don't expect to see a ton. You have Kelvin Banks at left tackle. You have Taliesin Fuaga at right tackle. And you have Trevor Penning at guard. You set it up that way because that's how you expect it to go, right? Like, if you were saying, hey, if you went into this saying, we're going to try Trevor at left guard, and if that doesn't work, we're going to move him to right tackle, then Kelvin Banks would be at right tackle right now. And these guys would be trading off reps at guard because you would want to have that flexibility. You're not moving Taliesin Fuaga to right tackle this early in camp unless your plan is for him to be your long-term right tackle and Kelvin Banks to be your long-term left tackle, which means that the only real position battle going on is Trevor Penning against himself to prove he can be a starting left guard in the NFL. And if he can't do that, then Dylan Radins is the next guy up.
Yeah, for me too, though, Jeff, it's like we're going to see another OTA practice on Thursday. And I don't know. Things could look differently along the lineup. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not right now, because we know that they're rotating those first team reps at QB. So we'll see if they end up rotating the O-line right now. Once again, prefacing with these voluntary workouts, shorts and helmets. There's no padding, no pads, no contact right now.
Yeah, you might see that now.
Yeah.
Because you're not really doing anything, right? So it's not like the reps are actually benefiting you from a muscle memory perspective. But I think once we get into camp, like this will be like the conversation next week might be, oh, you had this guy here, this guy here. Like you start there because I think that's where you're going to end up. And we'll see how that goes over the next few weeks. We'll see if, hey, maybe someone's not there, right? Maybe Fuaga has to miss a session and somehow and you flop it all around. Like, I don't know. But this is what Kellen Moore had to say when he was asked about Trevor potentially moving to guard.
Trevor's done an excellent job. His play style, his physicality is what jumps off the tape. And so we want to allow him to play fast, free, and confident, because when he plays like that, he's going to be a really, really good player.
What rotation do you expect along the offensive line throughout your offseason process?
We'll see how it goes. Obviously, continuity is a really important aspect for those guys, but we'll play with some different personnel packages, just moving those guys around, because ultimately in season there will be things that come up, and you have to have guys that have played other things and had different exposures. But we'll try and build on continuity as well.
Kyle, we saw Spencer. Does he have the physical skill set to play inside too?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And I think for our staff, we have a lot of exposure of guys going from tackle to guard and having a lot of success.
What have you seen from, is that helpful in terms of being able to guide someone through that already?
Certainly. I think, TJ being here, Doug, myself, and we've been around, that transition that Mekhi took last year, which really was later even in the process. It was really right at the end of OTAs and then it transitioned into training camp. And so, allow Trevor to kind of hop into the guard position. He's doing an excellent job. He's embracing it. We know he's played tackle plenty. And so, he's doing an excellent job in there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One thing he's talking about there, Mekhi Becton, who was a first-round pick of the Jets, he was a tackle. When he signed with the Eagles, they didn't need a right tackle. They had Lane Johnson. They didn't need a left tackle. They had Jordan Mailata. So, okay, where are you going to play him? It ended up being at guard, a position he had never played before in the NFL. I don't know if he had ever played it at another level, but it was not – you were obviously a starting guard option. It was, let's see how this works. And like Kellen said, it happened a little later in OTAs than Trevor, who – the conversations about him moving to guard started prior to the draft, which again, I think people are misunderstanding like why he wasn't at guard before. It wasn't because no one thought he had the ability to potentially play guard. It was because you went into last season saying, is he going to be our right tackle? And you had to see whether he could be the right tackle. Like, who else were you going to play at right tackle if it wasn't him? Right. So you didn't really have the luxury of saying like, let's figure it out. And if it was like, okay, emergency, can he play right tackle? So like you wouldn't have benefited from moving him into guard and saying, oh, maybe he's a guard. Cause then you still wouldn't have had a right tackle. You would have Landon Young out there or somebody like that. So, you know, I think that's what it is right now. If you're going to move him to guard, he's a guard. He's not a tackle who plays guard. He's a guard.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of frustration came not last year, the year before, where there were a ton of injuries. And meanwhile, you saw Trevor Penning still on the bench instead of contributing at all.
He's not a guy who you look at and say, well, he's so good from a technical perspective that we feel like we just move him around and he won't suffer from it.
Yeah.
Like, and then in that season, it was a loss. Like, we can talk for hours about how Doug Marrone failed that group.
Exactly. Right.
But like he was not in a position to do that. And then I think like last year it was, hey, let's find what gives him the best chance to actually contribute at the NFL level. And having him cross train wasn't that. This year, you at least know he's played right tackle. So if you do end up having to kick him back out to right tackle, I think it would go badly, but he's at least done it. Right. So you don't have that mystery. And this year is figuring out whether he's a guard that you can play or if he's not. And then you move on after this year. And it was just a missed pick completely. But either way, like the more interesting decision is you're moving Fuaga back to right tackle.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is interesting in that it means that your goal is to have Kelvin Banks be your day one left tackle. Which I would say normally, like, no, maybe they don't want to have a rookie at left tackle, but we just had a full season with a rookie at left tackle, and it wasn't the worst thing in the world. And if you're moving Fuaga to right tackle, you probably feel like, hey, we can basically set it and forget it on the right side. And if we need to help somebody, it will be Kelvin on the left side. But at the end of the day, I like the idea of having kind of this vision of we have our entrenched tackles. For the future. Like, this is our tackle tandem that we expect to anchor our offensive line for the next decade or however long that is, right? We saw with Ryan, you can't always predict how the end of career stuff is going to turn out. But what they're showing you by aligning them this way in the first day of OTAs, or at least the first session of OTAs, is that that's the vision for the future, is Charlie Asifuaga at right tackle, Kelvin Banks at left tackle, Eric McCoy at center, Cesar Ruiz at right guard, and the only real question mark is left guard. And if Trevor becomes the left guard, fantastic. You feel really good about that offensive line group. You have four first-round picks and a second-round pick. Trevor is a big mauling guy. Hopefully he can transition into that, and the size works and the athleticism works. You know, he's not the build that you would typically go for, but the physicality and the athleticism certainly helps. And if not, you go into next year's draft and you go find a top end guard prospect and you just move on. I like the idea of having a plan.
Yeah.
And not just saying, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. For me too, there was talk about, possibly do they put Banks at guard? I didn't like that, considering how high you spent the draft pick on this guy. Would have rather he stayed at the tackle position. So glad he's playing his natural spot. The only thing that's a little scary, you got a rookie at left tackle and a guy that's never played the position at left guard. So we'll see how that side of the ball shakes out now. That's the side of the line.
Yeah, I imagine you're going to have to help to that side a lot more. But it's a situation that if I think the Saints are in a good position to take that risk, because, you know, you would have never done that. My guess would be if you had Drew Brees, right? You would have never exposed your veteran 36-year-old quarterback to that situation, knowing that like a couple big hits could end his career. Whereas you have a couple of young quarterbacks, the season's probably not going to go great. Like, you don't know, at the very least. Like, you'd love for it to go well, but you know that there is a lot of scenarios where, you know, it's a learning experience. Like, there's going to be bumps in the road. So this is the year that if there's going to be a learning curve at left tackle for Kelvin, I'd like to get it out of the way. And I think at the end of the day, that's where it is. Like, if there was a little less variation in, like, hey, we feel like this is a 12-win team and we want to win the division and we want to go to the playoffs and maximize the Super Bowl window, yeah, maybe you would be focusing a little bit more on the best five philosophy and saying, I think Trevor Penning's best chance to contribute is at right tackle. We don't need to see whether he can survive at left guard. But in this scenario, it probably does make the most sense. So We'll have to see. But that's really all it is right now, because and we can't make any evaluations on whether he looks good or not at left guard. Like, we just genuinely can't, because there's nothing happening.
Yeah, I say that. We could go, like I just mentioned before, we could go Thursday and Banks is at guard and Penning's back at right tackle. And we have Fuage at left tackle. And then it's like, all right, so they're just working everything out.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's a good chance that is what happens, because they just want to mess with us.
Exactly. That too.
But I don't believe that that would be an indicator. Like, I think showing it first is a sign that that's where you plan to go. And so even if they come out this week and it does look different, I don't believe that that's the plan. I think that that's just kind of covering your bases. But yeah, and that's really, from a news perspective, that's really about it. Any other things you want to talk about from OTAs before we move on?
The other biggest thing to me was seeing Rashid Shaheed really looking like he's moving well, and I'm glad to see that coming back from injury.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I agree. Like, Chris Olave was out there too. I didn't have any real reservations on whether Chris would be a contributor in camp. Like, he wasn't dealing with, he had a head injury, but he was back to practice by the end of last year. Like, the question for him is going to come when the contact comes, and not even in practice, in the games. Like, the question for him is going to come when he has to get tackled a couple times and people can't use Derek Carr as an excuse anymore. And it's like, is he going to have like, if he has another concussion, is his career going to be over? Like, that's why I always kind of push back on that idea that, like, Derek Carr was the problem for Chris Olave, because Derek Carr wasn't even the guy who threw several of the balls that got him concussed, right? Like, Andy Dalton threw a touchdown pass and he got a concussion. Spencer Rattler threw a ball and he got a concussion. Like, and there was probably another one in there that he got a concussion on that they kind of cleared him from, but in hindsight, it was like, probably had a concussion. So, like, and the one at Ohio State wasn't Derek Carr either. So, like, the fact of the matter is he gets concussions. And if that cannot be sorted out, if they can't find a way to eliminate that, it doesn't matter who's throwing the ball, because he's not going to be there to catch it. But Rashid Shaheed, on the other hand, he's coming off a knee injury, and especially a guy that relies on athleticism and speed the way that he does.
Exactly.
You always have to wonder, like, okay, how's he going to come back? Is he going to be slow? Now, remember, he came into the NFL coming off a major knee injury at Weber State. That's why he ended up going on draft. So, you know, he has some experience of coming back from a knee injury like that. That said, like, to be a full participant on day one of the first set of OTAs and looking good, like, he caught a deep ball, like, he's already kind of hitting on double moves and outrunning people. And, you know, like, I think the Saints are going to feast on crossing routes this year between Olave and Shaheed, as long as they stay on the field, and Cooks for that matter. Like, Cooks looked fast, you know, obviously no pads, but that's a great sign, because I think what struck me is, like, I watched Spencer Rattler in that offense all of last season, or at least the second half of last season. And it was like, man, this looks so, so bad. And it's easy to lose perspective on, like, yeah, he's throwing a Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Like, as good as MVS was, your top receiver wasn't even there until week seven. Like, that's your best option? That's crazy, right? Like, oh, Bub Means, they have a connection from OTAs. Fantastic. But that's because they were working with the second and third team, right? Like, and even he got hurt.
Right.
You're throwing to Dante Pettis and MVS and whoever the heck else. Like, the guy's selling popcorn at halftime or down there catching passes by the fourth quarter. Like, that's not an NFL offense. So I'm looking forward to seeing Spencer with the ability to operate with an actual NFL offense. And Rashid and Chris being out there is as big a part of that as anything.
Yeah, one of the things, not to say that Michael Thomas was this speed guy, but we kind of saw near the end of his run with the Saints, he just wasn't getting that separation and yeah, practices. And that's when you knew there was going to be problems. That's why me seeing Shaheed being able to turn down the afterburners right now already, a huge positive sign right there.
Yeah, I mean, you need speed. At the end of the day, you need speed. Like, especially in today's NFL, you're not going to win without speed. And they have it with those two guys. So, yeah. But no, I'm glad you brought that up, because I meant to talk about that. So it's good stuff. I'm looking forward to, like, I think Shaheed is a very, very good NFL receiver.
Yeah.
And like we've seen him get work on deep balls, but I thought like last year over the course of the first half of that season, he only played 7 games. He was starting to kind of blossom into an all-around receiver. He was still hitting the deep shots, but he was getting work underneath, and you were finding ways to get him the ball on the run and kind of take advantage. Like I want to see him get more end arounds and stuff like that. I want to see him get the ball in space so they can utilize that punt returner stuff that they weren't able to get to all that much over the last couple of years. But all right, let's wrap up this segment. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about quarterbacks, all four of them, even though only three are playing right now because Jake's got a little injury.
Jakey
about to make a big mistakey. Anyway, who dat? Go Saints. We'll be right back. This is Inside Black and Gold. Make sure to subscribe. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. You're a listener. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.